comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful planet we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I realize you could be doing a million other things, but you chose to be here, and I appreciate that. I'm here because you have a right to know, and because you matter. Well, here in the United States, we've got a holiday coming up, and it's a pretty big holiday, and it's one that most of the rest of the world really doesn't pay any attention to. They do a few places, but most of the rest of the world doesn't even know really what Halloween is all about. A lot of people here in the United States celebrate it and don't know what it's all about. Have no idea, but it's a big holiday, and all the kids dress up in costumes, you know, and they go around with the little, have a little bag, and they knock on your door, and they say, trick or treat, and then you drop candy into their bag, and they go away happy, and go to the next house, and they just load up on all kinds of candy and goodies and stuff, and there will be parties. All over the United States, there will be parties for Halloween. Some will be, you know, for little kids. Some will be for teenagers. Some will be for adults. It's always kind of a big party night. Be careful, whatever you're planning to do. And we're going to talk a little bit about Halloween tonight, not much, but a little bit. And but be careful with whatever you're planning. Make sure that whatever you're planning, you have built into it all kinds of safety for yourself, because not everybody's going to be paying attention. There are going to be people out driving who have been drinking, and they should not be. Should not be drinking and driving, but all holidays we have that. And so be careful. Be very, very careful, and plan a lot of fun and a lot of good times, but a lot of safety into whatever you got coming up for Halloween. I've been asked, are we going to be on the air on Halloween? The answer is yes, we will. I will not be out trick-or-treating. I realize that my normal natural appearance looks like a Halloween costume, but I'm not going out trick-or-treating. That's for the little kids. And it's been many, many decades since I was a little kid. Listen, if you are not subscribed to our free weekly newsletter, you want to be sure and do that. And the way you do that is get over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Click where it says K-Files and subscribe to the newsletter. It's absolutely free for everybody. So there's really no reason whatsoever why you should be sitting in the dark when everybody else has light. There's a lot of good stuff in there each week, and we invite you to be getting it absolutely free. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to, and we don't loan that list out or let anybody else have it. All right, we'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and tonight We are going to go open line, and it'll be BYOT. We'll talk about anything you want to talk about within the genre of the strange and unexplained. And we've been having some guests on talking about the spirit world and ghosts and things like that. We have Halloween coming up. Maybe you want to talk about that a little bit, and we'll open those phones in a little bit, but not yet. I got a couple of things to share with you. Or maybe you want to talk about something that you've been seeing in UFO literature or videos or whatever, or guests that we've had that have talked about UFOs. And or maybe you want to see, I know some of you want to call me and tell me that I am so dead wrong on things that I said about channeling about 3 weeks ago. And I know that because what happened was your silence became even more deafening and more pronounced after I said what I said about channelers and channeling. And some of you read into that things that I didn't say, and some of you didn't catch it, and you don't know. But maybe you want to call and challenge me on channeling, and that's quite all right. You can do that here. You know, you don't have to agree with me. That's not a prerequisite for talking to me on the air. We don't screen the calls, so and find out, you know, what it is you want to talk about. I find out when the rest of the audience finds out. I'm not nervous about that because I don't have an agenda here. I have an opinion about some things. My opinion is my opinion, and your opinion is yours. And so when we open the phones, we invite you to call with whatever it is that's on your mind about whatever topics you want to talk about. But I do want to throw a couple of things out here and talk about them a little bit. If you go to the website and you scroll down and look at the picture about tonight's show, that is a picture of a UFO that was videotaped in Ukraine. No, actually, it's not the Ukraine. That's only what we Westerners say. It is, the name of the country is Ukraine. Ukraine. And so that is a UFO that was videotaped October 22nd in Ukraine. And of course, I made fun of, on that picture, I made fun of what debunkers say about things and had a little fun with that. I hope you enjoyed the humor in it. But we're going to take a look at the video, those who are watching. And if you're not watching, that would be because you have not yet become a member. And if you're a member, then you can watch the show live each night. And I will describe it for those of you who are listening. And we will enjoy this little video. Now, the reason I want to show you the video is because the picture by itself could be anything. It's a very strange looking thing. Now, I don't need to describe that because everybody can go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Everybody can scroll down and see that picture. So take a look at it. It is a very strange looking thing. And it could be anything. I mean, that could be some city lights in front of some buildings far away, zoomed in, and so forth. But when you see the video, you will see that it's actually flying. It's in the air, and very, very interesting videos. Let's go to that and take a look at it. Now, this is Ukraine, October 22nd, 2012. And we can see that they're looking out the window, and there is a light in the sky way out there, and they're zooming in on it. And the thing is that, you know, it's kind of, it's blinking. And as it's blinking, it's illuminating part of itself. Now, this is a long, apparently flat object. And it's got a great big light on the side, one big illuminated area on the side. Now, I don't know what that is. You know, when we say it's a UFO, there are people who say, well, you know, it could be man-made. Well, you still don't know what it is, do you? So if you don't know what it is, it's unidentified. And if it's unidentified and it's in the air, it's unidentified flying, and it's an object. That's what UFO means. It might be something that is extraterrestrial. On the other hand, it might be totally terrestrial. Either way, it is a UFO. And it's very interesting because it's a configuration I have not seen before. Now, maybe you have. Maybe you know, sometimes we show a video or a picture on the show, and then we'll get a call or I'll get emails where people will say, you know, I've seen that very thing. I've seen that. I saw it last week. I mean, we had calls recently like that where somebody said, well, it's exactly what I saw. And so maybe you've seen this. Maybe this is something you have seen in the skies. And a little bit later here, when we open up the telephone lines, if it is something that you have seen, please feel free to give me a call and talk with me about it. Describe where and when and what you experienced, what you saw. Those who are seeing the video, you can see from the video that this is something that's up in the sky. And so this is not, you know, some kind of lighting out there on the ground. This is in the sky. And very odd, very, very strange. One of the things about this video also is that it points out something. The UFO phenomena is not just a USA phenomena. I know there are people who just always think in those terms, that it's USA. It's not. It's worldwide. It's happening all over the place. It's happening, this rather spectacular UFO sightings in Scotland, in the same time period, about October 18th through the 22nd, somewhere along in there. And some red lights in formation in Scotland. There have been some pretty spectacular UFO sightings in Australia over the past two or three weeks. And in fact, one of those is a daytime sighting, and it is weird. It really is weird. Two parallel lines, very long parallel lines, sort of joined by sort of a misty looking stuff, and flying side by side, and then an orb flying out to the side of it. And they're very long. I don't know what it is, don't know what it could be, but guy filmed that through his telescope and got some good pictures of it. That was in Australia. There was another similar one like that, I think it was in the UK, similar to that. But this kind of thing is happening all over the place. It's happening all over the world. It's not just in the USA. And people all over the world are beginning to wake up a little bit and beginning to say, hey, you know, what the heck is going on above us here? Some of you have been awake to this for a long time, and, you know, it's hard for you to imagine that there are people who are just now beginning to realize that there are UFOs. But there was a day before you realized as well, right? There was the day before you woke up. That might even be a good movie. But there was the day before your mind was awake to the reality that there are things that we cannot explain happening in the skies above us. And we call those things UFOs. Now, some of them may be our stuff. Some of it undoubtedly is our stuff. I want to caution, you against thinking most of it is our stuff. Now, the reason I want to caution you against that is because you have absolutely no basis in fact for that. If it is our stuff, if we look up, we see a UFO up there, and if that's ours, it's super top secret, and you don't know for sure it's ours. Since you don't know for sure that that is ours, you think it is, but you don't know it for sure, you have no basis for stating as a fact that most UFOs are our stuff. You don't know. We don't know. We think that a lot of them are ours. And there are various reasons why we would think that, and I won't go into all of that here, but I mean, there are certain characteristics and things of our stuff that just looks familiar, even if it's a very exotic craft and doing very exotic maneuvers. There will be some things that are familiar to us. But we don't know. And so it's comfortable. A lot of people think, well, it's just reasonable and rational, of course, to say, well, most of that stuff's ours. Not only is that not reasonable, it's not rational, it's not even based in reality. You don't know. So they are unidentified flying objects. Some may be ours. But we have absolutely no basis, in fact, for stating that most of it's ours. I think, you know, it makes us feel comfortable. People would feel a little more comfortable if that all that stuff happening all over the world in the skies, if that's not aliens, if that's us, if that's humans, they feel a little bit more comfortable. Well, you know, let's see. So far as we know, aliens have never attacked us. And so far as we know, 100% of the time when we get attacked, it's by us. So I might feel a little more comfortable if all of it's alien. Because you put those kind of toys in the hands of humans, and some humans will use those to attack. We just have a history of that. So I feel a little bit safer if the really super high technology is in the hands of the aliens. But some of it's probably ours. So this video in the Ukraine, you know, it's pretty interesting. Is it hoaxed? That's another thing. Who knows? I don't think it is. But who knows? I mean, are you hoaxed? And you might say, well, of course not. I'm for real. Well, who knows? We don't know that. And you call in, you say, yeah, my name's Susie. And I live in Idaho. And, well, maybe you are Susie, and maybe you live in Idaho, and maybe you're really Fred, and you live in Texas. You know, I mean, we don't know. And so, you know, I think it's a exercise in futility here to doubt every video that comes along. Some of them are hoaxed, but not all, and in fact, not most. Most of the stuff that's inexplicable just is, and it's not hoaxed. Most of it, but we do have a basis in fact to state that, because you can take a look at all the videos that are out there and start comparing them. And do a little analysis of them, and you find out that, you know, the majority of them turn up to be real. Inexplicable, but real. So that's a very interesting case there in Ukraine. And Then we've got, and let me remind you, we will be opening the telephone lines. They're not open just yet. The telephone lines are lighting up, but it's we don't have the phone lines open yet. So keep listening, and you'll hear me when I announce that they are open. Now, a couple of other pictures that we're going to talk about. Now, these I really will have to describe because these are not on the, on the website. But these come from a video that's on YouTube, and Street Cap 1 is the channel. Street Cap 1, all one word, Street Cap and the number 1. Good stuff, good stuff. But here's the video. This is from the moon. Very strange stuff on the moon. Now, what we have is a kind of a dark picture, but it's this is from the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. This video starts out with the link where you can go download this yourself. And you've heard me. One guy wrote to me and said he emailed me and said, "You sound frustrated when you talk about you tell people download this stuff themselves." And you shouldn't be frustrated. Well, I do get a little frustrated because I give the links, I put the links up there on the screen, and then I will get emails from people telling me that I hoax this stuff. And so that's why I get a little frustrated. You know, hey, I didn't hoax any of this. I didn't do anything to any of this. But you can take that link that's on the screen and go download this yourself. See it for yourself. And then you will know. Now, what we're looking at, it's kind of a dark picture of the moon, and it zooms in. By the way, this is 0.56 meters per pixel is the resolution, according to the NASA website. So it's pretty good. It's a pretty good resolution. And what we see is a very strange hexagonal object standing up on the surface of the moon. And whenever, and it's standing up, I don't know how tall that is, but it's standing up a pretty good distance, casting a shadow. And what is very reflective on one, two sides of it, it's hexagonal, but on the top two sides, it's very, well, now what we're seeing, the picture's turned a different direction, and it's the left two sides. Very, very reflective. It's catching the sun, and we know the sun is in that direction because of the shadow. We'll come back and talk about that some more in just a moment. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. What we've started talking about is this very strange hexagonal shaped. Well, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. Sectagonal, I guess, shape. At least six-sided. You know, kind of stop sign shaped object. And it's on the moon, and it's sticking up. It's raised up off of the surface. By raised up, I mean it's like a building sticking up off of the surface, casting a pretty long shadow there. And we can see that the we can see where the sun is because of the shadow. We know that the sun in this picture, the sun would be toward the top of the picture, and the shadow's being cast behind this object toward the bottom of the picture. In the center, it's as if it's a hexagonal wall, and it's hollow in the center, but in the center there is a rectangular building sticking up. On the left side, that wall is not there where we would expect it to be. All the sides are there except that one side. And if we zoom in on that, we can kind of see what's going on there. It's like a ramp. Looks like a ramp, sort of a ramp on that side. And I don't know. I just don't know. But that's very, very reflective where the sun is hitting it. And if you look at this picture, you can see that it is reflective enough that it's reflecting light onto the surface of the moon beyond the object, above the object there in the picture, toward the top of the picture. You see that? You see that lighter area there where the light is reflecting off of this thing? Whatever that is highly reflective, and I don't know how tall that would be. But that's got to be pretty tall. In the original photograph, there are people who may want to go look at this themselves, and I've got the longitude and latitude up there where you can find this. This picture is right off of their website. And I'll play the video again in just a moment. It'll show you the link again. Copy it down. Go look at it yourself. In that same strip, when you go over there and take a look at that and download the picture for yourself, it's a long strip. You know, that's the way they get those from the satellite. And in that same strip, there's another weird object. Now, when we first look at this, unless you look real carefully, it just looks like some stuff on the ground, and some of it's pretty reflective. However, when we zoom in on it, you can see that the reflective stuff is setting on top of some kind of either a rectangular structure or kind of a barrel structure. And it looks like a bunch of maybe like cylinders sitting there with a sphere. It's like three cylinders side by side with a spherical reflective object setting right on top of those three cylinders. Those three cylinders are on top of a basically rectangular structure. And it too is casting a shadow. But notice something. Notice that these cylinders sitting up top are much more reflective than the right side of this structure that they're sitting on. They're sitting up top of a structure. They're sitting up top of something that's basically rectangular. Hard to tell because of the shadowing, but basically rectangular. The right side and around towards what would be the other side, the front side of it, we can see that's reflecting sunlight. The sunlight is coming from that direction. The shadows are over here behind it. And it's reflecting sunlight, but not near so much as those cylinders with the sphere setting up on top. Now, are those cylinders? I don't know. I'm not there. I'm talking about what they appear to be to me. What the basic shape that they appear to have appears to me to be cylinders. If it's not cylinders, then what we're looking at is a collection of spheres setting side by side up on top, and they're very, very reflective. They're almost as reflective as that far side of the hexagonal shaped object. They're almost as reflective as that. So it would lead me to think that they are either made of or covered with similar material. What is it? Now, these are all in pretty much the same area of the moon. They're in that same picture, in that same strip that you can download. And, you know, I'll play the video again, and you'll see a couple of times where the link will appear, and you can copy that down. So what does all this mean? Well, I don't know. Other than a couple of things here to note. They didn't airbrush this out, did they? This is one of the clearest pictures of lunar anomalies that we've seen. They didn't airbrush this out. They're not talking about it. They're enforcing their policy of shh. But they didn't airbrush this out. These are fairly recent pictures. They didn't airbrush these out. That is a very positive change. There's the link now. That's a very positive change. We've seen all kinds of pictures from the moon where NASA has airbrushed out very obvious structures. They didn't do a very good job, and you can still kind of see the outline of the structures. They didn't do too good of a job with that. But here, on their site, are pictures of real anomalies. I don't know what they are. I have no, but they certainly do not appear to me to be natural geological formations. Maybe you think they are. They don't appear so to me. They appear to be very artificial. And these are not blurry like we're used to. These are pretty clear. These are pretty clear. And again, this is not the clearest photographs they have, I guarantee you. These are the clearest ones they're going to let us see. But I'm absolutely sure they have much better than this. So we don't know what it is. We don't know whose it is. But the big change here is NASA didn't airbrush this out. You still get to see it, you and I. All right, we're going to open up the telephone lines, and we'll talk about, it's BYOT, bring your own topic. Anything that's within the genre of the strange and the unexplained, we'll be more than happy to talk about. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889 is the telephone number. And if you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, we have the additional option of the flash message for you. So to use that, you can call us, or because we understand it can be expensive to make those international long-distance calls, we have that additional option for you. And to use it, just go over to the website, kevinsmithshow.com. Scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show, and right above it, you'll see the link that says Flash Message. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Well, this is another Kevin calling in Iowa.
Okay, Kevin from Iowa. Are you a first-time caller?
Nope, I've called many of the times.
Okay, Kevin from Iowa. Well, I'm glad you called this time. What's on your mind?
Well, it's off topic. It's not about anything you've talked about earlier. It's about 2012.
Okay.
The Mayan documentary that was supposed to come out here.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with it?
I remember hearing that it was coming out.
Well, I was looking into it today, and it's supposed to be about the 2012, December 21st, revelations. Anyways, you know, it was supposed to come out by now, and it hasn't, and there's no word on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little suspicious. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, anything can happen when, you know, I deal with a lot of this type of stuff with video production and audio production and waiting for people who are supposed to be doing part of that for you to get their work to you so you can include it and all of that. And, you know, it could be just production delays. because those things really do happen. I mean, I've got a project that I've been anxiously waiting for now for over 2 weeks, and knew I had to wait for it, and I've been waiting for over 2 weeks for it. But if that had come in, my project would have been finished 2 weeks ago. You see what I'm saying? So
I see what you're saying, but you know as well as I know, I mean,
It could be that they got some interference as well.
You're not going to have your 2012 get-together at in Thailand, are you?
I'm not going to, no. I cannot do that.
So what are you thinking? I'll be honest with you. I am pessimistic about...
Hello? Well, I did not hang up on you, Kevin. I don't know what happened. I'm going to release the line and invite you to call us back. I didn't hang up on you. You just clicked and you were gone. So I didn't do that. I didn't touch you. Okay? So call us back. I want to hear the rest of what you were about to say. Look, it could be that somebody interfered with either the production or the release and distribution of that. On the other hand, it could be any number of production problems trying to get it out on schedule. Listen, ask Jose Escamilla. He can tell you about things that are scheduled to be out at a certain time, and then somebody drags their feet, and it takes the whole project a lot longer to get finished. Caller, can you hang on through this break?
Yeah.
All right, hang on. We'll be back right after this, folks, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we have now gone open line. It is BYOT, bring your own topic, as long as it's in the world of the strange and unexplained. We're interested in talking about it. Let me say quickly before we go to the telephone that Kevin was talking with us, Kevin from Iowa, and we got disconnected. Kevin, I didn't do that, and if you want to call back in, please do. We want to hear the rest of what you had to say. But for now, let's go to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington State.
Hello, Ryan.
You were talking earlier about a UFO over Australia, and it sounded very similar to the one that was seen over Kentucky by that guy with an astronomer.
Yes.
That saw one that it appeared as two long, thin lines connected by some sort of thin material.
And he got excellent photographs of it.
Yeah, excellent photographs of it.
Mm-hmm.
Was the one that you're talking about in Australia, did that look similar? Because I'm not watching.
It was at a distance, and I didn't show pictures of it here. And it was not anywhere near as good a quality video as the astronomer got, and I got the stories mixed up. The guy that got it with his telescope is the one in Kentucky, but the one in Australia was a daytime sighting, and I cannot remember the details of where in Australia or exactly when, but yes, it was similar.
Well, Kevin, I got to tell you that we are at no shortage. And I track these things daily. I mean, I'm like a junkie. I look, where the UFO is at, where the UFO is at. And I got to tell you and your audience that we are at no shortage of UFO cases and UFO videos and UFO sightings right now. I mean, they're all over the place, and, you know, like you said earlier, some of them could be military, probably are. Some of them could be misidentified. Of course, many of them are, but there's a small minority of them that have never been explained. And as long as I've been tracking this, if I could share my personal
sure
theory on what's going on.
Yeah.
My theory, after all this time that I've been tracking this, is that many of these, whoever's behind these, they're not coming, I'm beginning to think that they're most likely coming from nearby, in, or, you know, on the moon, under the ocean, underground. There's so many of them that I just don't see how they could be coming back and forth from Tetra Reticuli every time they want to abduct somebody. They have to have set up bases here on Earth or on the moon. Do you agree with that? Or
I think it sounds reasonable, yeah.
But my theory is that they're around, but and they're being seen, but people aren't looking. I mean, if everybody was out looking, we would have disclosure. But everybody is out watching TV, not paying attention. We're busy, we're working, we're paying the bills, which is fine, but
texting, you know, and playing video games.
Coming in from South Carolina, North Carolina, Texas. Texas is a hot spot right now, according to MUFON. California, Kentucky, Washington, Canada, Vancouver Island. So I'm just saying that whoever's behind these, and after I've been following Daryl Sims a lot, and after listening to him, that guy, he's on to, well, anyways, I'm kind of rambling here, but I wanted to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. About when you talk to Dr. Filipov, or when Jerry talked to him, or when he first came out with his, what he said, mm-hmm. he said that there was some sort of a question and answer session or something. Do you remember what the details of that were? Was that over television or what? I mean, how did that play out?
Okay, here's the deal. He did not say that. The news report, the first news report that came out in Bulgaria, claimed that he said that there was a media presentation, which is what we would call a press conference. There was a media presentation at which extraterrestrials were present and answered 30 questions put to them by the scientists from the Bulgarian Academy of Sciences. That was in the first report that hit the newspaper. And this is something that it's a point of real contention for me, because the way this works is people jump on the bandwagon 6 weeks later.
Yeah.
And after 5 minutes of reading crap, they think they're pros at this information. And then they start contesting what I said. Well, I still have that first press report. Now, it was published once.
You still have it before it was deleted, right? You
saved
it, right?
Yeah. And it was published once. The next day, that exact article appears without that in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there was no retraction.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's been a real point of a real issue. Because, you know, my theory is when there's a black hole in the information, the truth is right there in it. And so that just disappears out of the article, never to reappear. And then all these experts, 6 weeks later, talking about how I'm nuts about this. Frankly, they're squirrels, man. They're squirrels. I know exactly what I'm talking about and have the press report.
Well, Daryl Sims, who's been studying this forever, it seems like, he thinks that that whoever these grays are or whoever these reptilians are, they're coming from a local area. They're coming from either a mothership that's out there and that we can't see. But anyways, we can talk forever about that. But I want to ask you a question. Have you ever heard of Gordon Duff?
Yep.
Is there any way you could try and get him on the show?
Not right now. And I will explain why. One, 4 weeks ago, I covered the story and broke the story about his report that there was a UFO battle taking place or UFO war taking place out in the Pacific, and that it was being handled primarily by the Chinese because we're stretched so thin, but that we do have ships participating in this battle against UFOs. His report states that the it says the rumors are that this is an extraterrestrial, very hostile, aggressive opponent, and that they are coming from under the ocean and taking flight. Those are the rumors. It mentions having information out of an official memo. This is what he published, okay? And so we talked about that, and I asked questions about it. Since then, he's been on another radio show, a different radio show, and he's been talking about it. And there are two things here. One, I have serious questions about the veracity, not of Gordon Duff, but of his information.
Yeah.
Okay. Very serious questions about that. Secondly, it's now been out there on another show being promoted as though it's true.
Yeah.
And so I don't want us wading into that, and it's sort of like us standing out at the edge of the crowd going, hey, us too, us too. Well, no, not us too. We broke it. We were first, and we posed the questions. And the one of our members wrote to Mr. Duff, asked him very nicely for some clarification. Mr. Duff was polite but abrupt, and basically said, well, I reported based on what I was told by two government sources that I trust, and what others think about that and me on the internet, I don't really care. So, you want to hang on through the break?
Yeah,
all right.
I'll make it quick.
Hang on through the break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We have gone BYOT, open line, bring your own topic. On the telephone with me at the moment, Ryan from Washington. So, Ryan, I was answering your question about Gordon Duff. I'm not saying no, I'm saying not right now. This has to settle down because right now what we would get would be a repeat of what was on the other show.
Yeah. All right. I don't want to take up too much more time, but I just wanted to say that to the audience, you know, keep your eyes to the sky because there's definitely something going on. I mean, there's too much evidence to support it. And that's all I really had to say. I think that's the only way the disclosure is going to happen, is when people see it by themselves on an individual basis, or if there's a mass sighting. But there are mass sightings now. It's just not being... We're getting used to it so much. I mean, Peter Davenport's had a record amount of sightings in the month of September, over 1,200.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. The problem is people are buying the lie. And the lie is, well, this is our super top secret stuff. Most of this is our super... There's not even a possibility that that statement can be true. That most of this is our super top secret stuff. Because if it's super top secret, you can't even properly identify one of them as being our super top secret stuff. If it's super top secret, there's no way you're ever going to be able to prove that. And so they're buying the lie. And they think, ho-hum. Well, ho-hum, but this stuff is real.
Well, I was wondering if we can get Daryl Sims back on, because his theory is so plausible to me, that these grays and these reptilians or whatever, they are simply created beings, hatched. They're not born like we are, to interact with humanity. The people that are in charge of them, upper management, according to Daryl Sims, is who is really behind this all, but we don't ever see them. They're hidden in the background. But Daryl had an encounter with them. Pre-programmed one of his abductees.
Mm-hmm.
To,
yeah, he told that story here.
Yeah, he's told that story 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I don't want to take up too much more time. It's just I continue to be fascinated by this topic.
Yeah, and I think Daryl probably is on to something there.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll contact Daryl and see if he's.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin. I won't take up too much more time. I just continue to be fascinated by this topic.
So. All right, man. Thanks for the call. Okay. How about you? 623-444-5889. Now, for those of you who lazily get through life and you don't pay attention to what's going on around you, Ryan had some good advice. That is, pay attention. Look up. Things are going on all the time, and you just need to be watching, and sooner or later, you're going to see some of it. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, hi, Kevin. It's Heidi from Manitoba calling.
Hi, Heidi.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I've been waiting for you to have your open line show.
Good.
I was listening the other night to your broadcast, September 12th and 13th, where you were talking about the strange signal that you were getting.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and anyways, you know, it's when Jeff was there with you, you saying it looked like an RF biological rhythm, and possibly maybe it was aimed at the station, and... you know, the question came up, you know, well, like it seemed typical of a Navy signal, and that you'd wondered, well, you know, I'm in the middle of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I be getting a Navy signal?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have any military bases where you are located.
That's right.
And anyways, I was just wondering, Kevin, by any chance, to your knowledge, do you have a smart meter installed on your home? Either a smart meter, be it gas or electric, to your knowledge, do you?
No. To my knowledge, we do not.
Okay.
To the best of my knowledge, we do not have a smart meter here.
Oh, okay. You know, because an interesting thing, I've been researching this subject because of what's happening here in Canada, and... part of my research in that, I have been looking at, well, how gas meters operate and so forth, and here I've come across some really interesting evidence from the manufacturers of these, where they are installing military connector pins into the smart meter.
Do they say why?
No. But the interesting thing is they seem to be part of the pulsar that is attached to the meter itself.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, as I've been looking at, you know, well, what are, like, how does the meter work?
Mm-hmm.
It seems that a military connector pin is not part of a standard gas meter any more than is part of a piano.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also stuff here like the question comes up, is the military connector pin part of the remote control kill switch that is included with most smart meters? And there's also, there's been articles here that I've found on the internet, for example, where the military, at least in Nevada, that the U.S. Armed Forces Research and Development funded a $300 million grant to install smart meters. And, of course, you know, like with smart meters, what they do, not only do they make people very sick, but because they are using a radio frequency signal, they can, of course, as you know, James and some of the others have pointed out, you know, they can be used as a non-lethal weapon. And the very fact that a military connector pin would be part of a smart meter seems to suggest to me that, well, are smart meters something that is going to be the mechanism by which RF sounds or frequencies are beamed directly to the householder, and that therefore then you can control the occupants of the house, you know who is in the house, you know where they are located, you know how many people are there, when they come and go, when they turn on their light, when they turn on their toaster, regardless of what is happening. And of course, if there is a remote kill switch that at any time the gas or electricity can be turned off, then of course you are completely controlled. And the other thing is that I found, like, these smart meters are so expensive to install that it's very typical of them, of utility companies, to have to seek out vendors who will support and pay for this technology, because it's too much for most utility companies to manage. And so in doing this, they are looking to people, vendors, who would be interested in the information that a smart meter is supplying. And so the military, as well as marketing companies and insurers and anybody, this would be extremely useful information to have. And then finding this, like I said, this information on the internet, how the military funded, you know, $300 million for smart grid or smart meters in Nevada, it's kind of like sort of all adding up here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're being surrounded by people who don't want us to be free, that's for sure. But I don't know what the military connector pin would do, but I can tell you that there is a type of radio that a lot of people don't know about. It's a radio that does not use an antenna. It doesn't have a tower. Transmitter doesn't have a tower. It's transmitted through the electrical wiring in a building. And it's called a carrier wave broadcast, or a carrier broadcast. And I used to have, just as an experiment, I bought a little kit one time and put it together and built it to see, you know, well, I want to see how this works. And it works, because I could then plug a at that time we were using cassette tape players. I could plug a cassette tape player into this thing and start playing music. You couldn't hear it. There was no speaker or anything. You couldn't hear anything. But then I could turn on a radio and tune it to that frequency. And it, as long as I was in that house, I could pick it up in any room. And so the radio signals are being transmitted into the house via the electrical wiring.
Wow.
And so I don't know if that's what the military connector pin on these meters would be used for, but it certainly, I think, probably could be used for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I'm not a technical person, and this is just sort of an area that I kind of got interested in.
Uh-huh.
But certainly when I look at all the diagrams of what meters are, there doesn't seem anywhere that a military connector pin would fit into that.
There is a very famous computer company that builds computers. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years ago, someone found that there was a piece of equipment in this computer that does not show up in any of the schematics. But it's mm-hmm. in all of those computers.
Oh.
And that computer company, when they were asked about it, had no comment.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So, yeah. We are pretty much now totally surrounded by people who are pro-totalitarian and anti-freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, things are what they are, and as long as I'm free to speak, I'll speak.
Mm-hmm. Well, I sure enjoy your show, and really glad to be a member. And the fact that I could listen to this even a month after the fact, another benefit of being a member, right?
You're absolutely correct.
Well,
absolutely. Thanks for the call.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
All right.
Great show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, weird stuff happening all around us, folks. I mean, so many people just kind of, you know, shuffle along through life, and they don't realize how much is going on around them. And by the time they wake up, they've already been surrounded, and they're already being shipped off to the slaughterhouse. I mean, it's already over. A few folks are awake, and a few folks are waking up. But you got to do it pretty quick because you're just about out of time for waking up. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
I just got one, well, it's kind of a comment, but it's a piece of advice for people who want to, if they think they've been chipped or they want to get rid of all this a lot of this monitoring stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like Hi was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Heidi was talking about everything that requires. I talked to a friend of mine who has worked with RFID chips in the recent past.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him this question: will a magnet kill them? Yes. A strong enough magnet will kill the encoding in an RFID chip.
Okay. All right. Well, one of the things, I used to live in some apartments in Phoenix where you had to use your little card and, you know, to get the gate to open.
Yeah.
And if you got that card demagnetized some way, you got it close to a magnetic source, then it no longer would work and you'd have to go to the office and, you know, get a new card. And they were never really pleased with that. But, you're right. It will it'll mess with it. Or it can mess with it. But let me tell you what, though. They will come out with a new generation of this stuff that will not be affected by magnetism.
Good luck. Anything that has a 1 or a 0 that's magnetically encoded can be scrambled.
Yeah, but it will not. They will come out with stuff that will not be magnetically encoded. They'll use some other technology that we don't know about. and you know, everything that we think of to defeat what they're doing, they find a way around it, and they will find a way around that.
But until further notice, till we figure out what they've been, what they, for the current generation, strong enough magnets will scramble them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got me in a little trouble, but who cares?
How will that get you in trouble?
They don't like people knowing that.
Oh, so what?
Like I said, so what?
Yeah. So what? Okay.
That's all I wanted to say.
Well, Brent, thanks for the call, man.
Yep. Okay, bye.
All right, bye. Magnets are wonderful things. They can do a lot of stuff. And as far as I know, Brent is right on target with this. Current generation of RFID stuff can be scrambled with a strong enough magnetic field. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jerome.
Hi. That video you had about the anomalies on the moon.
Uh-huh.
The one appeared, the six-sided figure, yes, that's correct.
Uh-huh.
It appears like one side is breached.
That's right.
And to me, it seems like there was damage done to this.
Well, maybe. Did you see it when I talked about that and zoomed in on it?
Mm-hmm.
Was that a yes or a no?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay. That might be damage. On the other hand, that's a fairly regular shape. Headed from the top to the ground, it looks kind of like a steep ramp.
Yeah, you know, they used to build ramps when they attacked forts and stuff. I'm not saying that that was the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
The famous, well, you know, in Israel, they built a ramp up the Romans to get the Jews.
Yeah, well, you know, it could be that. What do you think this thing is?
No idea.
Can you see the rectangular? I said it looks like a building sticking up in the middle of it. You see that?
Oh, yes. Yeah. This is definitely, it's constructed. It's not, you know, natural.
Mm-hmm. No idea what that is. But let me ask you, I have even less idea what the other thing is. I said it looks like it's got some tanks on top. Maybe they're cylinders. Maybe they're... It's hard to tell because they're so reflective. So there's so much bright light coming off of them.
You know what those look like to me?
What?
If you took three billiard balls and put them in a triangle and then put a fourth billiard ball on top of those three,
uh-huh.
That looks like what's on top of this, I'm going to call it a building.
Mm-hmm. Any idea what that might could be?
I was thinking, you know how they have those spheres, and then they have radars inside of them?
Yeah.
Maybe something of that sort.
Hmm. Well, I'll tell you, that'd be a heck of a radar array to have, what, you would have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them, if those are spheres. You would have 7 of them sitting there having to coordinate with each other. But I'm not saying they couldn't. I'm just saying that would be a heck of a radar.
Yeah. I don't think it's a radar, but I'm just saying that that was my first impression when I seen that.
Uh-huh.
And once again, I think that this is damaged also.
You do? Where do you think the damage is on this one?
It appears, as you're looking at the picture, to me, it almost looks like a triangular platform that it's on. And towards the back side on the left, it just doesn't seem, it seems like there's pieces back there.
Okay, you might be correct. I don't see that yet. I'm staring at it. I'm trying. But I don't see a triangular shape here. But
it's not a regular triangle, but it appears to me that this isn't a cubicle building platform that it's on.
Okay.
And then there's the one taller building with the spheres on top, and then to the left there's a shorter platform.
Mm-hmm.
And then to the right it just seems to me like it doesn't seem it seems damaged. That's all I can say.
Hey, you know, it might be. It might be.
And once again, I have no idea, you know, what it is.
Sure doesn't look like natural geology, does it?
No, definitely not on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm the same way. I have no idea what it is. And I can say, well, it looks like this. It looks like, I'm just trying to describe it so people who can't see it can imagine in their head what we're looking at. But I'm not saying, for instance, that those are cylinders. I'm saying it looks like it could be cylinders, but it could be a whole bunch of spheres setting up there. Because there's so much light reflecting off of it that the reflectiveness of the light coming off of it, the brightness of that light, sort of washes out some of the details. Man, I don't know what it's strange, really strange. But you know, those cylinders or spheres, whatever they are, seem to be made or covered with the same kind of material as we see reflecting light off of this hexagon shape. It's very, very reflective where the sun is hitting it directly. And
you know, you can see the reflection on that six-sided figure where the sun is coming from the top end and illuminating it. But on the spheres, it seems like they're more illuminated all around.
pardon me. Well, yeah, but the angle of the sun, I think, is different. Take a look at the shadows here.
Yeah, it's much higher in the sky.
So, you know, I don't know, but I mean, both of them are highly reflective.
Mm. One last thing, I want to agree with Brent that with a high amount of magnetism, you can. I was using a magnet, it had a high Gauss rating, uh-huh. And it was supposed to be for beneficial for water and stuff. And I left my wallet beside it, and I went in to use my credit cards, and none of the credit cards would work. My driver's license, it was encoded. Everybody was pissed off at me because they had to punch me.
I have to go to break. You want to hang on?
Okay, well, that's it. Thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this.
But nothing's hotter than the Kevin Smith Show.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are open line, and that means we'll talk about whatever's on your mind within the realm of the strange and unexplained. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hello, Steve.
Hey, what an excellent show you've got going on tonight, Kevin. I appreciate all the callers and the wide variety of subjects they're bringing up here. This is a true smorgasbord tonight.
Yeah, I love it.
I'd like to comment, first of all, on last night's show, and then on, I can't think of his name, the caller from Washington State.
Yeah, Ryan.
You know, I'm getting old too, Kevin.
What do you mean too?
It seems like a lot of the things that are going on right now involving extraterrestrials, UFOs, and so on, seems to be lending a lot of credence to the idea of the crypto-terrestrial. You know, the fact that a lot of these beings, I think they're closer than local. They are local so local that they're from right here. You know, there's just so much going on, and so many sightings, and so many testimonies of people right now that I'm starting to think that that so much of this activity is from beings that call Earth home, and who live in realms that are kind of outside of our purvey. You know, they may live in depths of the ocean or parts of the planet that human steps don't go, mm-hmm. and perhaps outside of our visual range, which is very limited. You know, we can only see a very narrow range of the visible light spectrum, and these beings that are able to phase in and phase out of those spectrums almost at will. You know, there's no telling what's going on, you know, that we don't see that's right next to us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to be lending a lot of credence to that. And that's certainly the way my mind seems to be running these days on that subject. Now, I'd like to step away to another subject, and that's the concept of the Chinese Navy.
Uh-huh.
And its capacity to engage high-technology alien craft or crypto-terrestrial craft, if that craft is indeed coming out of the ocean, and it may be people who, you know, beings who actually live here, you know, of another species, another whatever. The Chinese don't have much of a navy. Their largest ships are destroyers. And a destroyer, that's a big name, and you think, oh boy, what a thing, a destroyer. Well, a destroyer is not really a very big ship as far as ships go. You know, when you think of the U.S. Navy and their battleships and the aircraft carriers and the Russian Navy and the British Navy, there are some world-class navies out there that are capable of engaging in some pretty serious warfare. The Chinese are not among them. They only have one or two aircraft carriers right now that are serviceable. They're working on them. They don't have very many pilots that are able to land on aircraft carriers. Most of their training is being done on platforms erected on tall buildings. The Brazilian Navy has offered to give them some training, but what kind of a Navy are you if you're looking to the Brazilian Navy to train you to use aircraft carriers? You know, when was the last time the Brazilian aircraft carrier was strategically used in any kind of combat? You know,
As far as takeoff and landing on a carrier, you wouldn't have to have combat training for that. I mean, all you got to have is a big boat with a landing strip, and it's afloat out in the ocean and moving. So takeoff and landing training, you certainly could do with anybody's aircraft carrier, couldn't you?
Well, I suppose you could, but if you took off with a full load of ammunition,
mm-hmm.
and a full load of fuel to engage in protracted combat, and you came back in a different weight class as an aircraft, you know, you'd spent your ammunition and fuel, most of your fuel, and you had possibly sustained some damage. You know, I think that would take a little bit different type of training and savvy, and they might want to take that kind of training from maybe the Russians, maybe us, maybe the British, who knows. The point is that anyone who is out there saying that the Chinese Navy is out there in deep blue, out there in the middle of the ocean, engaging some high-tech civilization in warfare, you know, using their Navy, mm-hmm. you know, I have to look at that and just shake my head. You know, that's I don't think they could engage the Brazilian Navy successfully, or the Australian Navy. I mean, Australia's sold them an aircraft carrier recently so that they could back engineer it and learn how to make some of their own. And they bought the Minsk from Russia, which was an over 20-year-old aircraft carrier. They don't have much. They have a few guided missile cruisers. They have some destroyers, and they have some frigates, and they have some shore defense type watercraft They have a lot of that. You know, they're able to defend their own shores. You know, but as far as deep blue water navy, China is not there yet at all. Not even close.
Let me say this as well. Even if it's our navy, and our navy is absolutely armed to the gills, and latest equipment, all kinds of stuff. If it's our navy engaging extraterrestrials, as this report states, then those ships and perhaps a good portion of this country would be nothing but a wisp of smoke and a pile of cinders right now.
That's my thought too, Kevin. So I know you get lots of people saying, oh, you need to have this guy Duff on and give his story. Let me be the first to say, Kevin, thank you for not having him on. Thank you.
Well, look, let me...
clearing the airwaves.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but let me, in Mr. Duff's defense, say this. My decision has nothing to do with me thinking that Mr. Duff is not telling the truth. That's not it at all. I don't know him, and I have no reason to think that he would be untruthful. I don't know him, and I have no reason to doubt his integrity or honesty. But the information he was given, which he has reported, I do doubt. The information that he was given, I have really serious doubts. You voiced some of them here. I have very serious doubts about the veracity of the information itself that he was given, he says, by two different government insiders. So I think the information is not correct. It doesn't pass muster when you look at what we would really be talking about. You engage, this information from Mr. Duff that he passed along. He was told this. Okay, so this information says that these are aggressive and hostile extraterrestrials. That's what it says. If that's the case, they got here from way out there somewhere, and that's a technology we apparently do not have. And if they did that, our biggest, baddest ship is just a housefly to them. It's nothing. And so if we were engaging them, you know, I said on that show, you may remember, I said, I don't think this is real, but if it is, we're going to know in just a few days. The whole world is going to know. Because if we engage these guys, we're all going to know the results. And if we were engaging them, I think we would have already seen some wisps of smoke offshore, and there'd be, you know, probably parts of this country already in cinders.
I agree with you, Kevin. I agree on 100% with your discourse just now, and I'd like to go a step further and say that Mr. Duff is in a position to know better. He's not a rookie in the field of military hardware and what's going on. He's no rookie. He's in a position to know better, and yet he continues to carry this tale. And I'm sad for him. I'm sad. I don't know what he's thinking of. I mean, someone could come and tell me that my cats grow 50 feet at night and stalk the neighborhood and eat all the neighbors' dogs and rob houses. You know, I'm not going to call animal control and say, come get my cats because they're growing to 50 feet at night. You know, that would be a ridiculous story.
Mm-hmm.
It holds about as much water as Mr. Duff's Chinese Navy story, in my opinion.
Yeah, but let me again, in his defense, and I have no reason to defend him, except I know how this can work sometimes. Let's say that he's got these sources on the inside, and that they really did tell him this. And these are people who have told him things in the past that panned out, that were real. And so he might look at the story and say, I don't see how this can be real, but these guys have told me nothing but truth in the past. So I'll put it out there and we'll just see what happens. I mean, it can happen that way. And these two sources on the inside, they may be, possibly, I don't know, but they may be spooks. And if they are part of the intelligence community, then they may have developed this relationship with him for the very purpose of one day unloading this information on him so that through him it would get out to the UFO community.
That's exactly my thought, Kevin. That mm-hmm. is exactly my thought. And I'm sorry he's being used this way, and that's my suspicion as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, there are many other things I could talk about, Kevin, but I'm sure there are lots of people whose fingers are burning to poke the numbers on their telephones and get in touch with you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you one more time, Kevin. Keep up the good work.
Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And we are open line. That means we'll talk about any topic that's within the world of the strange and unexplained right here. Okay? All you have to do is call that number. We'll talk about it. As you've been hearing tonight, it's kind of like talk show jukebox. If you don't like what we're talking about or something else is more interesting, you punch those numbers and change the record. You just tell us what it is you want to talk about, and we'll talk about it. Yeah, this story, I mean, it's very exciting, and it's the kind of stuff that I see this happen a lot. These stories come out, and there's this rush right at the beginning, this big rush, like a tsunami. It just passes right through the UFO community, and everybody is all up in the air and talking about it, and all over the air talking about it. If you've been listening to this show for a length of time, any length of time, I mean, you know, 6 months, then you've heard me say many times, as I bring something up, this is something I've been watching to see how it went. You don't always jump right out on the front line. All right, we have to step away for a break, and we'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're on Final Approach. Now, this is tonight, BYOT, bring your own topic, and we have a few minutes left, so if you haven't called or if you've been trying to call and couldn't get in, the phones are all quiet right now, so here's a good chance for you to get in. 623-444-5889. I was talking about this story about the battle that's supposed to be, a very super top secret battle supposed to be going on out there in the Pacific. And part of that information was that the memo said that anybody who tried to check or verify or clarify this information would have fatal consequences. Well, excuse me. Life is a fatal consequence. All right. I mean, the day you were born, you started heading toward the casket. I know people say that's morbid every time I say that, and I get email about it, and people, you know, say that you shouldn't talk like that. It's true. You started dying the day you were born. It's the big event, and nobody's going to miss it. It's coming. And so telling me that, you know, if I ask a question, I'm going to be killed, come on, give me a freaking break. That's supposed to scare me? I've been dying for 59 years. Hadn't made it yet. And I'm not looking for the completion of that process anytime soon either. I'm not looking, I'm not trying, you know, but look, you're going to threaten me with what's going to happen to me anyway? Come on. I mean, you got to do better than that. What kind of threat is that? But that really, when I saw that, in the material, in the information, bells went off, and I said, this cannot be true. This is simply not factual. Again, I'm not saying that Gordon Duff is being dishonest with us. I don't know him, and I have no reason to think that he would be dishonest with us. I have every reason to believe that he said that what he said is what he was told by his sources. I have no reason to doubt that. But that information from those sources, I doubt virtually every word of it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Tony from Norman.
Hello, Tony from Norman.
How are you?
I'm doing well, sir.
Good. I totally understand why you don't want to have Gordon Duff on so soon after he was on that other show.
Uh-huh.
And that picture I asked you about, that was, I had found it about 2 days, 3 days before you emailed me, and it was so easy to find.
Uh-huh.
That picture is just, I just crack up every time I see that. That is just classic, that look on her face.
Well, let's tell the audience, it's folks, on our TV channel, during the breaks, I use different graphics in different places, and there's a picture on the internet that somebody sent me, and it's a picture of a little girl. She looks like she's maybe, I don't know, 8, 9 years old, maybe 10, and she's got this really quizzical look on her face, and she's got a mustache. A big, hairy mustache. And so I use, it's funny, and she's just cute as a bug, but she's got this big mustache. And
it's hysterical.
It is hysterical. Yeah.
One of the things that they talk about the dumbing down of America and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Oklahoma, things are kind of cheap, especially compared to, like, New York or California. My brother lives in New York, and I lived in New York most of my life.
Uh-huh.
And most people up there, the husband may have two jobs, the wife may have a job, or they have the basement finished off, or they turn the garage into an apartment to make money.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they just work and work, and then they come home, go to sleep, not eat, go to sleep, maybe watch an hour or so of television, and get up and go to work. They don't have time to listen to things like the Kevin Smith Show and mm-hmm. many others. There's so many people out there, like, for one, David Icke, don't even know who he is.
Yeah.
Doesn't know who Peter Davenport is, or
mm-hmm.
Stanton Friedman, for crying out loud. So if they don't know what's going on, how are we who do going to help to get them the time to find this stuff out?
Listen, I used to wonder about that, and then I gave up. And here's why. If a person is eating a really bad diet, but they're full, they have eaten and eaten and eaten, And then you come along with carrots and peas and beans and squash, and you say, this is healthy for you. They will not eat it. They're not interested in it. They're full. Okay? And that's kind of the situation that we've got. When they get to a point where what they're eating is no longer working for them, they will look for another diet. And it's just, you know, we would like for everyone to wake up. But, you know, some people have just been eating junk food to the point that they're so full, they're not interested in a good diet. And you can't make them be interested in it. You can't force that. When they get hungry, the only thing we can do is make sure we're there with a good diet, with good information, and get them started. You know, that's the only thing that we can do, I think.
I do understand the analogy, but if they don't know anything about this stuff,
mm-hmm.
how are they going to know to look?
When they look up one day and they see a mile-long thing going over their city, I can assure you they'll stop with the junk food. I can assure you right then they're going to start looking for answers.
That's probably what it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to be too late.
Well, it may be. And unfortunately for some people, it just will be too late, period. They're sunk. And that's their fault, and there's nothing I can do about that. And, you know, for some people, it's just going to be there. But there will be a number of people between now and then whose eyes open. And, you know, these shows that I do about the moon and Mars and the stuff that's on, I get email where people say, okay, enough with that. Let's talk about something else. But I get email every time I do one of those shows. I get email from several people who say, this is the first time that I've watched a show. It's usually, you know, I usually do that on a free night where everybody can watch. And this is the first time I've ever watched your show. And it's the first time I've ever seen anything like that on the moon. I had, had no idea. And they, you know, they're profusely thankful that I did the show. So for those of us whose eyes are open, it's old news. And for those whose eyes are not open, it's new news. And it's astounding to them. And it's life-changing. Hey, man, I wasn't watching the clock. We ran out of time. Thanks for the call. Yeah, the end of the show hit me. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to say, my friends call me Steele. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.